Hi, welcome to Author's Note.
Don't like, don't listen.
My name is not Tease.
And my name's not Cass.
Tease?
Yeah?
Today marks a momentous occasion, and I've been thinking to myself, I went out today, and I thought to myself, wow, I did so much shopping, but the reality is that I went to get asparagus and needles for my injection, so that's what life is like here in the pandemic. But I thought to myself on this, the day of the Super Bowl, I think the world would be better if sports fans started referring and treating themselves like K-pop stans. I want Tom Brady fan cams.
I feel like that already exists. I mean, isn't that just essentially what ESPN is?
But it's not as fun as the K-pop people.
That's fair. You know what my least favorite thing about sports fans is? When
the fact that they're at a super spreader event right now?
Yeah, definitely that. But also when sports fans will say us or we about a team as if they played in the
game
themselves.
You're not on the field, Jeremy.
I have a friend who I love dearly and is very into the New York Giants. And she's like, we did really good today. It's like, did you play? Are you a part of the New York Giants? And every time she says it, I just think it's the funniest thing. Like, yes, she is a part of them. Giants Nation.
You watched or read or partake in anything fun or cool this week?
Let me see. What did I partake in? So I have been watching Great British Bake Off Season 7 with my mom. I guess Collection 7 on Netflix with my mom. We watched Collection 8 together, and now we're watching 7. And she's starting to get really into baking, which I think is cute because she's never been a strong baker in her life. So we're doing that.
Aww.
But also, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week, but I started playing Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
Did I mention this last week? I don't remember.
You did, but
oh,
I think you should talk about it again.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you're exploring each week.
I'm getting better at it.
Come, you are.
On Thursdays, I stream. I'm a little gamer.
Twitch.tv/tcity.
Yeah. Come watch me accidentally kill a dog.
No.
That's not good. No, reverse. Watch me
defeat the powder gangers.
Oh, yeah. Watch me look up at the stars.
Week.
I get really emotional about the stars every time it's dark
really
out.
You really do. It's so sweet and enchanting.
I stop at the stop sign and I look both ways before I cross the street. I accidentally stole some corn. It was good. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I love my saucy little gamer lad.
What's his name, Tease?
Jotham.
Yeah. Love Jotham.
Love Jotham. He's God's favorite stupid little courier. But besides that, Horse Season 2, I'm finally watching that. I waited till 5 episodes came out, and I've just been slowly but surely watching episodes on it, and that's been really fun. And I picked up Actually, I Am, which is a very big favorite manga, a friend of the show, Leo, and it's their favorite manga. So I kind of was reading it last year, and then I stopped reading it, and now I'm back to reading it, and that's kind of like a corny romance harem supernatural manga, and it's usually not my cup of tea, but I'm having a really fun time with the characters. So that's Tease. What about you?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I love all that for
fun.
You this week I watched, you know, in lieu of forgetting who the director is, I watched Robert Zemeckis's Gladiator, the extended edition.
Congratulations.
Because I've never seen it all the way through.
I've never seen it either.
It was okay. So beautiful shots there. It was funky because, so it came out in 2000.
Is
and
it Mr. Ridley Scott?
It might be Ridley
it
Scott.
It is Ridley
I think
Scott.
It is. Yeah, because it has Russell Crowe in it, and the way he does landscapes is like very, it's very Mr. Scott.
Interesting.
Also has Joaquin Phoenix in it.
Oh.
The more I go back and watch films which kind of came out when I was either too young to see them or too young to appreciate them, the more I am fascinated by like what was revolutionary for its time.
Yeah.
And so I remember Gladiator receiving huge acclaim, and it still does.
Mm-hmm.
It's regarded as being, you know, one of these like impeccable, flawless films, which it is not that. It has like some really funky shot choices. Like,
okay.
Mr. Scott, what were you doing with those slow-mo scenes?
Oh, no.
Like, low frame rate. But, I mean, acting is phenomenal. Seeing Joaquin Phoenix in like all white armor getting his ass handed to him in the Colosseum is
nice,
delicious, beautiful, fantastic. And then I started watching the 2015 Macbeth adaptation with Michael Fassbender, and I only got about, I want to say, 10 minutes in, but like already that is like so beautiful, absolutely gorgeous cinematography. Totally enamored with it. Can't wait to finish it up. And I'm finishing up reading The Terror by Simmons, which is a wonderful book, and I love it a lot. And I'm getting really, I don't normally get grossed out when I read. It takes a lot, but reading very accurate depictions of scurvy and what it does to the body is, do not recommend looking that up if you are a squeamish person. Even reading about it is just like, I feel the physical discomfort of it.
In the TV show, which I also recently watched on your recommendation, I mean, teeth just kind of fall out and like gums get really puffy and fucked up. But
yeah,
you don't think about what really happens because they kind of sensitize it a little bit. And
it, the best way I can describe it without like disturbing anyone is that it almost turns your body into like rotting fruit.
Yeah.
You bruise super easily. Yeah. You know, do with that description what you will. If you're interested, it's a really well-researched and well put together book. It's a historical horror fiction take on the Franklin Expedition, which if you want a quick primer on, I heavily recommend Caitlin Dowdy's video on YouTube.
Yeah, she's Ask a Mortician. Really great.
She does a great overview of it, and she has great videos in general, which are really great to educate yourself both about death practices and how our current pandemic is affecting death practices.
Oh.
So our topic this week is the World of Warcraft pandemic, which so to me, this feels like kind of a cornerstone in gaming history that everyone should know about. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of friends who had never heard about it before and were really fascinated by the concept.
Yeah.
And it's, if you're unfamiliar with World of Warcraft, it is like one of the biggest MMORPGs. And for those who are not gamers and are better people than us, an MMORPG, because I'll be using that shorthand quite frequently, is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. So it's a specific type of MMO. And anytime you're talking about MMO, you're going to be looking at things like Final Fantasy 14. It's a huge online game that basically, for better or worse, you are going to be interacting with other people quite a bit, you know? It's not really the kind of game that you can go in and play solo if you're looking for the full experience. Tease, how familiar are you with World of Warcraft?
Very little. I've only ever played one MMO in my life, and it was DC Universe Online for like 2 weeks my senior year of high school. And
forbidden tease knowledge.
I know, like only one other person knows about this, so I guess now everybody else who listens for here on after will know about this. But I did briefly play DC Universe Online. I sucked butthole at it. I was not good. I stupidly chose an archer and I can't aim, so that was on me. But besides that, my only knowledge of World of Warcraft is one of my really close friends plays it, and one of my cousins played it for a really, really long time. So I know when your guild has a raid, you gotta go, but that's about it. You're more MMO.
Yeah, so I currently play Final Fantasy 14 off and on with friends. I'm a very casual MMO player, and I played World of Warcraft quite a bit growing up. I played in Burning Crusade and Cataclysm, and I stopped playing before Mists of Pandaria came out, which those are all expansions. So
oh, that's the funky little panda. I know what that is.
That's the funky little
panda. I worked at a GameStop for like 4 months, and I would see that funky little panda's face all the time and be like, huh, panda time.
two of my close friends were the top players in their server.
Oh, shit.
I was not. I played very casually. I did not do raids. I didn't do anything like that. I am just a peaceful little soul who enjoys running around and appreciating low-poly game assets. I like to look at squirrel. I played a hunter dwarf.
Ooh,
that's my World of Warcraft. Yeah, I chose to be short for once in my life. I regretted that decision, though, so much.
My first ever D&D character was, I think, was a dwarf, and her height struggle was inspired by my own height struggle. And in fifth edition, it says that dwarves range like from whatever height to 5 foot. So I made sure that my dwarf was 4'11", and she's pissed that she didn't reach 5 foot. And inspired by my own anger about not hitting 6 foot.
I don't know what that feels like.
Shut up. Anyway, back to the story at hand.
Back to the story at hand. Can I go over some basic terms
that people
should know?
Because I don't know them either.
So we're going to be talking, obviously, about something that happened in-universe. Mm-hmm. Or not right. In meta, maybe? We're going to be talking about something that...
A little whoopsie doodles.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something that happened in the game to players, so a few terms you might want to know as we refer to them, and also just good gamer knowledge in general. You know, if you want to impress your mansplaining coworker, maybe, I don't know. Don't let Jerry gatekeep you. That's none of his fucking business. Debuffs, which is the opposite of a buff, is an effect that may negatively impact a player character or a non-player character in some way other than reducing their hit points. So that might be something like reducing your speed, hitting you with, you know, something that lowers your defense, etc. A cooldown is a defined period of wait time before you can use a spell, ability, or item power. Normally that'll have, like, if you use, like, a potion, you're going to have a cooldown of X amount of maybe minutes or so before you can use one again. And this, of course, kind of keeps the economy of combat moving effectively and more balanced. And then a raid is a type of mission in an MMORPG which a number of players attempt to defeat a large-scale challenge. Normally that is a dungeon, it could be other players in a PvP, otherwise known as player versus player, or it could be a boss, or sometimes it's a combination of multiple. So a lot of times in like Final Fantasy XIV, it's a combination of, you know, a dungeon with bosses sprinkled throughout kind of deal. So. On September 13th, 2005, tease what happened.
For a week, this shit happened. So, on September 13th, a new raid was available. It was the first 20-person raid, and it was set in the city of Zulgrub. And you do your raid shit, and then the final boss was Hakkar the Soul Flayer. Hakkar would cast this debuff called Corrupted Blood on players, and it would damage you for about 10 seconds. If you stood next to other characters in the raid, you would catch Corrupted Blood. Your pets would get Corrupted Blood, which is the most important thing to remember in the situation. Mm-hmm. And it sucked. If this was clearly designed for a very high-level player, and this was really powerful. I think I remember seeing something about it hitting, like, 2,000 damage each time, and I think it hit every 2 seconds, so that was like easily 10,000 damage just kicking your ass, you know?
The raid was released as endgame content for high-level players, so ostensibly you're getting your highest level, most powerful players coming into this raid to play it, which means that sure, it is scaled and spec'd to affect them appropriately and not like one hit kill them if they're prepared. The same cannot be said of the low level players who were later afflicted by this.
Mm-hmm. And obviously healers could heal you and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to keep up with that much amount of damage. And especially if you stand next to somebody, they're going to catch it. It's going to hit you fast and hard. And
well, especially if the second you have your cooldown pop, right, and somebody runs up next to you again and, oh, shit, you've got it again, you know? Just that, like, rapid back and forth transmission.
And it made this gross, like, squelchy, drippy noise. Yeah, like that. And
you've been hit with corrupted blood.
Oh, shit, we're gonna die. Fast forward to end of the raid when you come back. The issue here is that some players, I don't know, Cass, you describe this. You probably know better about this than I do.
So the thing is, like, once you finish a raid in a game, a lot of times you'll either be transported back to the entrance, or you can teleport yourself back to a major city center, right? Because if you got a bunch of loot, you're probably going to want to put that up for sale. A lot of this requires sort of understanding the base mechanics of how an MMORPG works. You have instantaneous travel, and this is going to stack up with some other factors, but if you instantaneously travel to, say, the capital city for your side of, you know, the World of Warcraft division of alliances, right? You have the Alliance and the Horde. If you travel to an Alliance capital city, right, mm-hmm. where there are hundreds and hundreds of other players, you are mixing not just with high-level players who are specced to deal with this corrupted blood, you also have low-level players there, because these are areas of commerce where you have a lot of interaction and trade going on, both between players and between players and NPCs. It is often obligatory that you travel back to those places. So if you're coming fresh from a raid and you have a bunch of loot that you either want to sell in an auction or put up in a market board or offer to other people or mail to other people, all those things are going to be done in a major city center within the game. Mm. But like I said, you have a lot of low-level people there. In addition to that, if you are a character class who has a pet, if you are a hunter, which is offering, you know, DPS, so you're probably going to get a lot of hunters per raid as opposed to more tanks or healers, there is a prohibitively high cost, effectively, if your pet dies. So in World of Warcraft, what would happen is instead of letting their pet die, people would withdraw their pet, and that would lock their pet into an area of stasis, meaning that, you know, debuffs wouldn't, you know, go down, your cooldowns wouldn't continue to tick. Your pet was just locked there in stasis. And these pets could also be afflicted with the corrupted blood debuff, which meant that, okay, your player leaves the raid, they go back to a large city center, or really just even a tiny town, maybe, where there are still dozens of other players, and they pull their pet out. Well, their pet is now giving corrupted blood to everybody around them. If you have ever played World of Warcraft, you understand how bopping it can get at a mailbox. And I mean, it is dozens and dozens and dozens, sometimes hundreds of people all stacked on top of each other in a very small, like, 5x5 grid, because they're all reading their mail. They've all got their pets out because they want to show how cool their pets are. And it's a mix. It's so many people. And then you also have NPCs there. And the other aspect of this corrupted blood thing, and the part that made it so much more difficult, is that NPCs, which are non-player characters, could also contract this and spread it. However, NPCs in pretty much every game ever, if they're not made explicitly killable, will instead have an incredibly high HP to make it much more difficult for player characters to kill them and make things more difficult for other player characters. If for some reason you want to kill a barber in World of Warcraft and make it difficult for everyone to, I don't know, get their hair done, they have to make it harder. So you have all these carriers on top of the people who are just, you know, coming fresh out of the raid, still have corrupted blood on them, haven't been healed, and it is very rapidly transmitting to every low-level player character, everyone who wasn't prepared for that, everyone around them, basically. And because a lot of these lower-level characters obviously aren't specced to deal with this high damage, there are just dead bodies everywhere, all across servers in every world.
You can look at pictures and it's just skeletons just on the floor.
And it's kind of grim and terrifying.
It's horrifying. Like, I kept reading about it in articles, but I didn't truly understand the magnitude of it until I actually looked at a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says something as well for our current situation. I think people are going to keep saying, oh, this is a hoax, until you're physically, you see it with your own two eyes how it can affect somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and I think the thing that makes this even more wild, right, is that corrupted blood did not have a particularly long cooldown. It was only 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Corrupted blood, you know, as relative to a real-world virus, has a relatively low incubation period. It's mm-hmm. 10 seconds. So if all of these players had simply, you know, stayed away from other people, we might not have had the issue. But it was the fact that they had pets and the fact that then it was transmittable to NPCs. And, you know, my cat is also standing behind me scratching an ottoman, which he knows he's not supposed to be scratching. But sometimes in life, like many people, like the TikTokers who are hosting COVID parties, you do things that you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
To no effect. Eskel.
Eskel.
Young man.
Also, something to mention that Cass did not mention was that when NPCs caught this, there was no indication that these NPCs caught this. So mm-hmm. they essentially were an asymptomatic carrier, which has been the biggest issue with COVID in real life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people would interact with these NPCs dozens and hundreds of times, depending on what the situation is with the NPC. And all of a sudden, all these people would get corrupted blood. And by the time you spread away your 5 feet to distance yourself, so to say, somebody else was going to catch it, you know?
Yeah.
It was constantly like,
all it took was you running past one of these NPCs.
Yes.
You would be none the wiser.
Yes, exactly. Until it was too late.
Like the real world, you know, people had different reactions to this. And Blizzard, the company who makes and runs World of Warcraft, requested that players quarantine. Unfortunately, not everybody followed that request. Again, with like these large city centers, I think it's important to recognize too that a lot of times players are encouraged to log out in these spaces for mm-hmm. certain bonuses in game. And if you log out somewhere, you're going to log back into the game in that same exact location. So there are people who logged in totally unwitting to what was happening. And there are accounts of people who were talking about how they would just, their eyes were glued to the in-game chat, like watching these proverbial cities fall, mm-hmm. essentially, because they would hear about an outbreak and then a bunch of people would just be dead in seconds, mm-hmm. which horrifying to think about. But you have people, you know, who logged off until the issue was fixed. There were people who were going around and actively trying to heal player characters so that they could survive and continue to play. Other people were distancing themselves from those major cities. And then others would warn, you know, others about the infected zones. And then you had people who were spreading around the debuff on unsuspecting players because this is a video game. You're not actually hurting anybody technically by doing this. You know, consequences for dying in World of Warcraft aren't, you know, that bad as far as MMOs go. They might have been more, of a hassle at vanilla WoW, as it's called, but I don't, you know, currently know what they are. I think we see a lot of this sort of like altruistic medical attention in its own way in our current circumstance,
mm-hmm.
not so much in like I can't steal a vaccine and give that to somebody, but you know, I do see a lot of people who are setting up group texts, Discord servers in their communities to all stay informed, whether that is about, you know, like who has such and such in stock at their store, you know, whether that's certain foodstuffs, especially early on, toilet paper, soaps, hand sanitizers, or you have people looking out for, you know, those who might be immunocompromised or more susceptible in their community. I cannot steal a vaccine for you, but I can offer you these homemade pretzels that I made in this trying time, if you would like them, you know?
Yeah.
The plague ended on October 8th, 2005, when Blizzard made pets unable to be affected by corrupted blood, which basically cut off transmission to the outside world beyond Zul'Gurub.
Mm.
So that lasted
a week.
Yeah.
And it has clearly lasting
consequences, yeah.
Thank you, that's a good word.
There's a whole paper on this by Pfefferman. You can read it. It's free online, which is really awesome. Specifically positing how we can use this as a case study to examine real-world behaviors
mm-hmm.
as a consequence of pandemics. And one of the things that Pfefferman highlights is that
one of the major constraints in studies of disease dynamics in animals is that epidemiologists are restricted largely to observational and retrospective studies. In nearly every case, it is physically impossible, financially prohibitive, or morally reprehensible to create a controlled empirical study where the parameters of the disease are already known before the course of epidemic spread is followed.
And while they didn't have any awareness of like what was going to happen necessarily when this, you know, launched and went live in World of Warcraft, this is like a fantastic study in retrospect of how people organized and socially combated or enabled the spread of a disease. And I do think it's a little bit different, obviously, because, you know, World of Warcraft doesn't have the same real life consequences that a real world pandemic does. But I do remember around the time that this first happened, there were discussions, and like even as recently as a year ago, discussions from people being like, this is, you know, this is as close as we might get to a modern pandemic. And I'm like, gee, I sure wish I could go back to that reality where this was the only modern pandemic.
And of course, like, not everything can be solved with this pandemic. As Dr. Dimitri Williams, associate professor at USC, whose specialty is online communities and video games, said in an interview with Washington Post,
there are games where you are encouraged to behave in a way that you would never behave offline. You really have to know the game, play it, and to understand the culture so you can make these kinds of determinations that, yeah, this is a pretty good proxy.
So in reality, what Pfefferman is looking at is a really great concept, but probably she would agree, and several other epidemiologists agree as well, that this isn't truly going to be the whole picture. But it does help us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even this situation has actually been used for by anti-terrorist organizations and talked about how this can be used kind of in a way of how do people react to biological terrorism. It's not like someone's going to launch a fucking COVID cloud into the sky like some Spider-Man villain, you know? But it can talk about how do we possibly set up like better barriers to stop people from running into giant public places that might have a bomb,
yeah.
Or how do we avoid somebody who has a gun in a parade situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
how does a community without any sort of financial backing disseminate this information amongst themselves?
Yes.
You know,
so
like what do people prioritize in terms of information to be shared?
Yes, exactly. So that's how, so this has been a very useful thing, despite it being a total fuck up for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very cool.
And I think the interesting and sort of twisted thing too, right, is like obviously, you know, you had people who like were logging in just because they wanted to be a part of it and see what was happening, you know, because again, like this is, you know, I mean, it's the kid gloves version of it. It's not going to actually hurt you. You know, it might be a little annoying in the moment, but like, oh, what a cool thing to walk through the streets of Orzammar or whatever and see, you know, hundreds of little skeletons. It's just sad. It's so sad to see the pictures.
And especially when this came out, this was 2005. World of Warcraft came out in 2004. So
yeah,
this
very new.
World of Warcraft was like peak video game journalism at this time. So tons of people were coming in who barely knew how to play the game just because they wanted to write something.
Can you imagine if this was your first day playing?
Oh my god, I'd be miserable. That's how I felt when I played Final Fantasy 14 for one day. Those bitches were talking in that little seaman accent, and I was like, I don't know what you're saying to me! And then I immediately left. And I feel like if that were to happen, if I were to just get, like, blood squirt, like, I would be decimated. I'd be like, no, no more. So I feel
I'm
that.
Done. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And even now, this World of Warcraft pandemic is used. I mean, there have been a handful of WoW events that took place in honor of this. But there's also, I read an article with Kotaku, which was actually really cool, about a fan server called Elysium for World of Warcraft. And Elysium decided to actually do their own miniature pandemic situation to help its players learn about COVID and learning about facts. So this was like right when the American lockdown happened, and it started with somebody touching, patient zero touching a germy object, and then it was spread. And at the peak of that weekend that they did it, it was about 88% of its players got hit with the virus. So once everybody was sick or whatever, at the end of the weekend, they actually reset the server, but then started doing a bunch of quests in relation to keeping this virus at bay, which I think is actually a really good teaching tool. Like, I know it sucks that your piece of escapism is being used to teach you about the thing you're trying to escape. However, I think it gave people reason to look more into how to protect themselves during the pandemic.
Yeah. Escapism is not an excuse either to avoid the very real suffering that is going on and pretend it's not happening.
Yes. Yes. So some of the quests included washing your hands with an item called hand soap, scrubbing items that were quote unquote germy in bazaars and stuff like that, staying 5 feet away from players for a certain amount of time, wearing a face mask item, so on and so forth. And when the
all things that you should be doing in the real world.
Yes,
too,
yes, exactly. And by the end of the quote unquote pandemic in this fan server, it dropped down to 42% of players who had it. And obviously, some people played along. Some people just logged out for the weekend, which kind of sucks because it's like, come on, man, like we're trying to do something, you know? And the head mod of the server, Rain, said,
I was very conscientious of the fact that people have died from this and it's affecting people in pretty negative ways. It was always a little risky to do this. I'm sure that why a lot of legitimate gaming companies aren't doing anything, because it is so sensitive. I wanted to make sure that whatever we did was 100% about education and providing information and not anything to do with making us money or to be in any way poorly perceived by the people we were trying to inform.
And I think...
Hell yeah, gamer.
That's really fucking cool. Like, I think that's a really good way to use your platform. And I think, if I remember correctly, there's like... upwards to about 10,000 to 15,000 people online in that server, usually at a time. And I think that's really a smart way to use your visibility, you know? So in order to get the cure at the end of the event, characters were invited to kill Noth the Plaguebringer. And of course, Noth was the one who brought the plague to the server. But once you defeated Noth, you were able to actually share the cure with other players. So even if characters were, like, let's say, a level 11, because if you were under a level 10, you were immune to it. But once you hit 11, obviously, you're kind of screwed. So maybe Noth is a little too powerful for you while you're still an 11, but your friend who might be, like, a 50 or whatever, be able to still cure you, which I think is really cool. You know, you're helping out your community. I think that builds a sense of community. So it shows that.
And you get sweet, sweet EXP points for doing it.
Yeah, baby. And I just... like, I mean, yeah, it sucks that this happened and, like, this lasted so, and for such a, like, how this is, we're still something this is talking about 16 years later, but I think...
it's because we're in it 16 years later.
We sure fucking are, but I think as a fan event goes, this was actually really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, the protections put in place so that it's not going to affect, you know, newbie-level players, so that they're able to kind of continue. I understand, too, that there could be an angle of jaded cynicism, right, where you're like, well, why are we gamifying this? And it's like, well, for some people, this is the most effective educational tool, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way that, you know, we approach children with things that are bright and colorful to, you know, drive home the severity of some subjects, you know, sometimes people learn best when they are able to directly apply it to themselves or a proxy of themselves or an aspect of their life. And this way it's safe, you know, this way nobody gets hurt, you know, you don't have to like, okay, there are tons of forms of outreach at the end of the day. And I think this is a great way of doing outreach from person to person in a community of saying, hey, I want to make sure everybody on this server is more educated and knowledgeable about this because it is serious. Mm-hmm. People are dying. Our government has failed us. We need to talk about what we can do to keep ourselves safe. Let me teach you that in World of Warcraft.
Hell yeah.
Can I talk about something totally unrelated but partially related? Because I said that. Okay. So I went to Whole Foods today to get asparagus.
Yeah.
Normally I do my grocery shopping at Trader Joe's, and as I was standing in an aisle at Whole Foods, I saw a package of gummies that had Elmo on them, and I desperately wanted to buy the Elmo gummies. I desperately wanted to buy them, but there were people there, and those people were looking at me, and I said to myself, if I were at Trader Joe's, I could buy these without being judged. I did not get the Elmo gummies, and I'm still thinking about them.
You will get them. I believe in you. You will get them soon. Someday. Can I also talk about how else pandemic has briefly affected fandom? just like a casual.
Yeah, absolutely. Discussion. I mean, I don't think it's a brief impaction. I think
it's gonna last forever. People are so unfortunately fan fiction where people are stuck in quarantine together. Exists.
Unfortunately, fan fiction. The new title of our podcast.
Unfortunately, there's fan fiction that exists about people in pandemics, and I have read some. They're all awful.
Of course
they are. Well, they're so bad, and it's like they always play Animal Crossing in them too. Like, I get it, Animal Crossing came out the week after lockdown, but
I haven't read any, so mm-hmm. I can't speak to any quality, but I do know that HBO came out with a movie called Locked Down or whatever.
What?
With it's got Anne Hathaway, and I want to say it's Chiwetel in it. Just as they decide to separate, Linda and Paxton find life has other plans when they are stuck at home in a mandatory lockdown. There's something that's very frustrating to me about a production company trying to profit off of this concept as it's happening, mm-hmm. which is really enraging to me, mm-hmm. because it's not... I am of the mind that it is difficult to process trauma as you are currently being traumatized.
Okay.
And you can do what you can to compartmentalize and cope, right? And mm-hmm. I can get behind fan fiction in that respect, yeah. on some level.
Yeah.
If you are writing relatively harmless, fluffy fan fiction, yeah. about, you know, just two characters who are stuck at home together for 24 hours a day.
And then they were roommates.
And then they had to share a bed? Wow. Nobody owns a couch in fan fiction. I can get behind that. To me is not quite on the, you know, if somebody was writing about like they were working the hospital shift in the COVID ward, that's when I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
This far, no further.
Take
a big step back, Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't think I've written that. Oh my God, Hamilton.
You don't think you've written that?
Fuck, read that. No. Oh my God. Rewind. I don't think I could handle
T-Sprite's
that.
T-Sprite's pandemic fic.
I would never. I could not. I don't have the balls for that. I work customer service all day, and I actually go into the office. You think I want characters to live through that? No.
It just reminds me of all the people who are like, yeah, here's my fan art of Hitalia, Japan, post-tsunami.
Oh my God. There's going to be Hamilton fan fiction about this.
Stop.
There probably will
be. Stop. I will cauterize you.
Which part of my body are you going to cauterize, bud?
Yes.
Okay. It's just so bad. And granted, there's probably somebody who wrote good quarantine fan fiction. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that it's like, if you're stuck at home, just make it a snowstorm, baby. It doesn't have to be the pandemic.
Maybe it's wish fulfillment because they work a job in which they are required to leave the house and they wish they were in quarantine.
You know, I wish I was in quarantine, but I wouldn't write an office romance fic during a pandemic, now would I? I don't think I would.
Maybe it's moments like these that I ask, what would Michael Scott do in this situation?
Shut up.
No, I'm a white person. I have to ask that question. How would Jim Halpert react to COVID-19?
What would Leslie Knope do?
You know, that's a really difficult piece of fiction to parse your way through it, when we are so very cynical about government right now.
Yeah.
Watching Parks and Rec, which is just instilled with so much hope for government to be better, and you're like, oh, Leslie, I sure wish I could get on that level with you, but,
I can't.
Our government said you get $1,600 to survive a year, and then said bye.
And then sort of gave us $600, too.
Maybe, if you were lucky.
Yeah, I was lucky. But it's just, I think...
Tease has $600. Everybody stormed Tease's house.
Joke's on you.
Tease is the 1%.
Joke's on you. I spent it already. I paid off my cell phone and I bought a copy of Tulip. That's what I spent my panty money on. Guess which one cost more.
Tulip.
Dick. I wish I was kidding. I spent $170 on a
PS2. Stop telling people about your personal finances on our podcast, Tease. you know, yeah. as we're still in the pandemic and we can't, you know, obviously if vaccinations are available to you, take advantage of those Please. As soon as possible.
Please.
Continue to wear masks, continue to wear masks and continue to socially distance even after you've received your second inoculation. That is so, so important because we're still, to my knowledge, uncertain of whether people who have been vaccinated can be carriers, and the belief is that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to wash your hands, continue to stay up to date. But, you know, I thought maybe we could take this moment to share some ways we've been getting through this, you know, despite how difficult it has been, and everybody is in a different state of handling this,
mm-hmm.
because quite literally everybody is in a different state, and your mayor may or may not say, it's okay to go outside and have a party, in which case, don't listen to them. It's not. Tease, what are some things that have been bringing you joy and hope in this difficult year? I know for me, one of them is a brand new podcast that started during the pandemic called Author's Note. Don't like, don't listen.
I have to agree with you there, Cass. Author's Note has really been helping me a lot. No joke, this podcast has really given me something to look forward to during the weekend to work on. I'm not even kidding.
Every week we're like, let's talk about something that's horrible and depressing and that is going to make everybody sad.
Literally.
Like the pandemic and World of Warcraft.
Yeah, like what we're doing right now. But I feel like that's been really helping a lot. I've been having nights with friends where we play games or we watch movies together. Like I have a weekly anime club on Wednesdays with a few friends. And before we recorded, I actually played Mario Kart with four other friends over Discord. And we just kind of...
Who's your go-to in Mario Kart?
Teams? Yoshi!
Yeah, that tracks.
I mean, it's... Well, usually...
I like more in.
That's fair. I would pick Birdo if she was there, but Nintendo...
Is Birdo not in the newest one?
She's not! Nintendo's Birdo-phobic! And we were talking about all buying Smash so we could play Smash together. I was like, but Birdo's not in Smash! And they're like, he's... Birdo will come. It's like the queen...
Birdo will come. You hit that spot right, Birdo will come.
Shite! The queen will arrive once the jester enters, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But I love Birdo's my favorite Nintendo character. Guys, I don't know if you knew this, but she is.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
I love her. I also love Doshin the Giant, but I don't know if he counts because he's only a GameCube game.
Wait, have you ever played Chibi Robo?
No, even though it's...
You need to fix that immediately.
I know. I've been told it's an incredibly T-score game, but also I don't own a GameCube. I still own a Wii, but I don't have any GameCube controllers.
Everybody listening to the podcast, close your ears right now. Emulate it. Okay, you can open your ears back up.
Fuck. I forgot that exists. You're right. Meanwhile, my half-finished copy of Chrono Trigger. Wink, wink.
Aaron Hansen's favorite video game.
It's such a good game. I also own Chrono Cross, but I've yet to play it. What else? My cat. My God, do I love my cat.
What's a fun fact about Bass?
She's stinky. Actually, she's actually a very nice smelling cat, all things considered. She was born in a... She wasn't born in a dumpster. She was found in a dumpster. And
you don't know where she was born. She could have been born in that dumpster.
She could have been, but she was found in a dumpster. I could tell you that much. She is really good at fetch. She loves garbage. She doesn't meow. She kind of just like squeaks, which I think is really cute. And those are some best fun facts. What about you, Cass? What have you been doing to feel good?
I've been keeping myself very busy.
Yeah, you really yeah. have.
I've been keeping myself very busy so that I don't have enough time to think about anything.
Oh, God.
I enjoy baking a lot, though. I haven't baked in quite a bit, but I have a fantastic homemade pretzel recipe that I turn to whenever I'm sad.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic. I love pretzels.
Yeah. I'm very good at making pretzels. I'll make them for you someday.
Thank you.
I've gotten much better at cooking, which mm-hmm. has been really fun. I now feel like cook. You could tell me to make, as long as it's not fish, you could, or ham. I only eat bacon. I don't really eat ham.
Interesting.
But I feel like if you kind of threw a bunch of stuff at me, if you threw me a chopped box, I could do something with it. Not in that time, but I could do something with it.
I respect that. I think that's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
I've been getting back into watching movies and shows again, mm-hmm. which is something I didn't really get to watch a lot of stuff while I was going through thesis, just okay. because I spent so much time on my thesis in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a lot of time for like external stuff. So it's been really nice to just like watch things again and read and write.
Yeah, that does
reading
sound good.
A book is amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've been reading again lately. That's been really fun.
I picked up The Scottish Boy by Alex DeCampi, which, mm-hmm. or DeCampi, I'm not sure if it's DeCampi or DeCampi, but it has some illustrations in it by Trung Le Nguyen, who is a fantastic illustrator, and I'm very excited to read that. My friend and I are going to book club it together,
That's
and then
so
we're
wonderful.
Also going to read the Captive Prince series, which I've read before, so it's just the year of gay
I
problematic
that.
Tragedy.
Have you read Gideon the Ninth? Because I think that's on my book
I
list.
Have not. I know that's about space lesbians, though.
That's why. Dune who? The gays.
I really want to read Dune.
I genuinely
want to read Dune.
Can we read Dune together?
Yeah.
Our Dune spinoff podcast.
Yeah.
Dune, where's my car? Dune, where's my dust? Welcome to our spinoff podcast, Dune, where's my dust?
Do you mean spice?
Oh, no, isn't...
It's spice.
I thought dust was a part of
it, too. It's the spice must flow.
Oh, okay. I thought it was... What's dust? Something has dust.
I don't fucking know. I've never read Dune, Tease.
Fuck, there we go.
Anyway. Let's wrap this baby up.
Yeah, definitely.
If you enjoyed our podcast, we would really love if you could share it with a friend or maybe leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever lovely podcast app you like to use. If you're interested in supporting us, you know, with a little bit of money, maybe you want to pop a dollar or two our way, you can find us on Ko-fi. That's Ko-fi. We're Authors Note Pod over there. Tease, if people want to find more of you, where can they find you at?
You could find me at Vicunad, Vicunad.
If you want to find more of my work, you can find me pretty much everywhere on social media at Valhethella. That's Valhethella. Tease, who made our wonderful theme music?
Our wonderful theme music was made by James Wyulo. You could find him on Bandcamp under James Y. And who did our fantastic cover work?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know anymore. No, it was by Nyaliest. You can find her on Twitter or at our episode about gotcha games. She's at Nyaliest. It's NYALLIEST. Until next time, wear your face mask, socially distance, wash your hands, don't log on to World of Warcraft, play a better game. Bye!
Bye! Congratulations to all the people that got their funky little JPEG boy in Genshin Impact.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
I don't endorse that game.